Okay, folks, please take a seat so we can continue. Or at least, if you're going to talk, talk softly so we can't hear. All right, so we're going on to the third reading of the budget. Chief, would you take it from here, please?
Thank you. Once again, this is the third reading. April 23rd, Finance Committee met to review and discuss the draft. That draft was presented to the board at the May meeting for the first reading. There were no changes to it. We had a second reading last month, June 12th. There were no changes made to the budget. And that brings us to this meeting where it'll be our third reading. And I've made some minor changes to the budget, and we're going to go over those right now. As far as the revenue projections, I made two adjustments to the budget that we had the first two readings on. The first was the estimated property tax collection. The previous draft, the proposed budget, had an estimated revenue collection of $1,380,000.
Can you, when you go to those topics, would you give the item number, please, so we can find it quickly?
401.
Thank you.
Chart 401. So the draft that was brought to you in May and June had a revenue collection of $1,380,000. And that was based on the past revenue collection of $1,320,000 and a conservative estimate of 4% increase due to increased property tax assessments. What we were told by the assessor last year about this time was he anticipated a 5.4% increase. However, I took a conservative estimate of 4% increase, and that's what was reflected in the budget that was presented to you the past 2 months. However, on July 2nd, County Assessor published a report indicating that property assessments in the county were improving and providing a listing of cities and their increases in property tax assessments. Although the report did not provide values for Kensington, it did list four cities in West County and their estimated increases in assessments. Those cities were El Cerrito with an 8.7% increase in property tax assessment, Richmond with an 8.7% increase, Pinole with a 12.2% increase, and San Pablo with a 14.6% increase. All four of these cities have experienced much lower assessments during the past several years, while Kensington assessments have remained level. As a result, it was my opinion that Kensington assessments would not increase at the same rate, and therefore I used a conservative 6% increase in assessment values for the new property tax estimation of revenue of $1,401,000. This new estimate in revenue will increase the previous proposed property tax revenue projection by $21,000. So basically all I'm telling you here is, whereas I took the assessor's new assessed values, instead of going 8.7%, I just factored in an additional 2% going from the 4 to the 6 for an increase in property tax revenue of $21,000. However, as I noted in the memo to you in the packet, if we do get into the 8% range on assessed values, we can expect an additional $25,000 of property tax revenue. The second adjustment I made to the budget was in the Measure G estimated revenue, chart 404. This was a result of the board's approval of increasing Measure G $6 a parcel at the June 12th meeting. This resulted in an increase to the district revenue of $13,000. These two adjustments have increased our projected revenue from $2.6 million to $2.7 million. This revenue projection does not include our COPS grant funding of $100,000. So the bottom line is this upcoming fiscal year budget, which we're now in, we're projecting revenues of $2.8 million. I also made four adjustments to the expense portion of the budget. The first was in chart 835, consultants, with a new expense of $7,500 for a website design consultant. That's coming up later in the agenda. We'll be talking about our request to hire a website design consultant. So if that is approved later tonight, that was now included in the new budget expense. Additionally, As a result of the Kensington Fire Protection District's generous offer to reduce the district's lease agreement for the use of the public safety building, chart 865 has been reduced from $31,514 to $1. And with the board's decision to hire HF&H consultants to manage the RFP process in the search for a garbage hauler at a cost not to exceed $79,000, I had to adjust the previous draft of the budget from $50,000 for this service to $79,000. However, as part of that discussion regarding the fee and the scope of service with HF&H consultants, I've also lowered the legal fee budgeted for this RFP process from $50,000 to $35,000. HF&H informed me that during their scope of service, our discussions about their scope of service, they didn't feel that we would be using $50,000 worth of legal consultants in the process, that their portion of that would cover a lot of this cost, so I reduced that to $35,000. The effect of these two changes was a $14,000 increase in expenses of chart 890. Finally, in my review of the proposed draft of the budget, I noticed that we carried over the expense of the purchase of new computers and a new server from last year's budget. This resulted in removing $16,000 from chart 969 for computer equipment. Overall, the changes I've made to the proposed 14-15 operational budget have reduced the estimated shortfall from a projected $330,207 to $268,436, or a $61,000 reduction in the estimated shortfall. This new estimated shortfall of $268,000 does not take into account the $100,000 in COPS grant revenue or the possibility of receiving up to an additional $50,000 in funding from the West County Unified School District, or the possibility of receiving an additional $25,000 in property tax revenue. It also doesn't include the additional expenses for expenses that will be associated with the new labor agreement with the Kensington Police Officers Association. However, maybe we better open up to board discussion before I make my recommendation.
Actually, why don't you make your recommendation, then we'll discuss it.
Well, it's my recommendation of the board that you accept this proposal for the operation budget for 14-15 as presented. Keeping in mind, it's a working document. It's not where we're going to end up financially at the end of the year. It's just giving me the authorization to actually expend budget and district funds for these items that contain in the budget. But I think in the coming year, I think it's always our goal to work together to try to reduce that shortfall.
Okay, discussion. Director Lloyd, do you have any comment or question?
Well, I think you've done a good job in continuing to work this budget issue for us. I continue to be sensitive to the fact that we are advised to sign up to a deficit budget every year. And I just think that sends the wrong signal. It's kind of like being programmed for failure. But I guess there's not a lot we can do towards it. However, I would strongly suggest that every effort be made to zero out this budget and work from a zero slate as time goes by. And that may or may not be possible, but we've fallen into this trap of every year we start behind the gun, and so to speak, and it's just not a healthy attitude in a financial organization.
Director Toombs.
I think it's a good budget to adopt. I'd love to be able to drill down on some of these costs, but I just don't know how we're going to get there except to minimize our involvement with our consultants and our attorneys, and hopefully the community agrees that's a good idea, too.
Director Lipscomb?
I think it's a good job on the budget, Chief. Thank you. I do think we will be getting the COPS grant. Do you have any indications that we will not get the $100,000?
No, I think that's secure.
So that would reduce it to $168,000 shortfall, and then if we get something, does everybody know about the thing with the West County Unified School District reimbursing for the crossing guard? Years ago, how many years ago, Tony? 20 years ago, it used to be
20 years ago
that the school district ran into trouble, and we took over that contract. And now their school district is doing okay as far as funds go, and they're willing to take that contract back. So that should put another $15,000 to $20,000 back in. And then I didn't catch the last item you talked about, Chief. You mentioned another $25,000, I think.
Of the property tax.
Potential revenue.
If we actually get like closer to eight.
Closer to the eight they project, that'd be another 20.
The six that I'm projecting.
Right. So that would leave, that would significantly diminish the shortfall if that were to come about. And that's, you know, gee, what's $100,000 on 2,000,008? 128. I think that's, we used to say it's close enough for folk music, but I know that's not the expression anymore. That's a pretty good budget. I think good work. Thank you, Chief.
I would like to echo the good work part. We're making the best of a difficult situation here. There's no doubt about it. We certainly have our work cut out for us in terms of reducing our cost on a lot of these line items like consulting fees, legal fees, etc. But it's an honest budget. I mean, it's a moving target. It's an honest assessment of what we think realistically we're looking at this moment in time. And that's my comment. Anybody from the public would like to step up and say anything? Come on.
Well, we counted on you, Carl.
I don't think it's an honest budget. If this was my company and I were to make this decision, it's very clear. The first thing I do is cut the legal fees, and I go with nine officers. And that gets you about even. And then I would, on a quarterly basis, control this very tightly, which you are not doing, which none of us are doing. You know, if you take one officer out of there, it's about 110,000, give or take, with benefits and what have you. And if you reduce the legal costs from 150 to 70 or 75, that gets you there. But you are always willing to hire a consultant or do something very quickly. And it doesn't go to finance. It comes to you and you make a decision. And see, this way, no one is responsible for it. The chief isn't, because you make the decision. The finance isn't, because it doesn't come to them. And you don't look at it in terms of dollars. So it's very frustrating for someone like me to be talking about that. And you notice I'm talking about the same darn thing all the time. Money. Money is basically boring.
Mine's not just boring. It's very interesting.
Yeah, no, it's very boring.
No, can I address what you said, at least in part? From the way I see it, I see it stops here. I see that when we have something we feel we have to do, like an RFP as a best practice, we assign, not because it appears in the budget, because the need arises. The contract expires, the service must be performed. Okay, how are we going to get it done? We could do it the old-fashioned way and sit around and try to conjure it up ourselves, or we can use best practices, or we can use something in between that. So it's not that the budget is driving us to go out and hire somebody to do the RFP. Similarly, it's not the fact that $150,000 worth of legal fees is set aside as a predicted amount to be spent in the next year on legal fees that is going to cause us freely to go out and engage counsel. We hate to engage counsel. We want to see the matters we have now ended.
I just take
the opposite approach. But it's not realistic to say, okay, we'll put in 75, and then no matter what, whether we have litigation pending or whether we know it's coming, we're just not gonna do it. We'll go home. I don't see that as realistic.
Linda, I don't see that hate. that you are talking about a hiring a consultant, or hiring whatever. I think you love to hire a consultant.
No.
Honest, from where I sit, I see there's love. I don't see that hate. But while I'm up here, and I may be out of, by the way, last year I had some hope that we had a budget that was not a balanced budget, but I thought we were going to work very hard toward that. But we didn't. I mean, just look at the financials that just came out. I highlighted some things a couple of nights ago. I almost ran out of highlighter because there were so many items that were out of balance. Now, I want to ask you a question. You can tell me it's not a fair question. I really don't want to pick on a chief because I don't. I think
all That's of good. Us, I have a gun.
All of us are responsible for that. But when you talk about evaluating the chief, which you're doing at this point, how much of the financial issues are you putting on a chief? How much are you taking responsibility for? How much you put on the finance committee and how much you put on everyone else? It seems to me if you do an honest evaluation of your chief executive officer, that's one of the issues that you need to be talking about. Can somebody give me an idea how much of this you put on a chief? How much you take for responsibility for?
We take responsibility for every single bit of it, okay? The board does. The chief, you know, basically put together his proposal. We're not about to take a police officer off the staff. That's not on the table. You know, it's you can talk about those things, and, you know, I understand, you know, if you're coming from a CFO point of view, you say, well, the thing we have to do is balance the budget. That means fewer employees. We deal with that, you know, but that's not a realistic option. He's doing, in my view, and I think the board believes it, maybe not, he's got the most realistic approach to the situation we're in right now. You know, I'll say it right now, maybe we'll have to raise taxes in the future. I do not know at this point.
I don't think the last election has any kind of indication that you're going to be able to raise taxes. See, the thing is, if you don't do, or if we don't do something, look at the financial, the cash forecast for the next 5 years, that's where we're going to be. We're going to have to do something much more dramatically. So, I mean, if you don't do something now, then you have to do something much more dramatic a few years from now.
Well, I don't think, you know, if you're looking at the Measure L thing, I think I cannot read into that. People are not willing to pay for what's necessary. I think people are, you know, if they view an adequately staffed police force as necessary, they're willing to pay for what that costs. That's the bottom line in my view.
This building was necessary, and, you know, we didn't do a good job selling it and all of this, and it was easy. The no factor was much easier to present by saying take option two, because people honestly believed we had $750,000 we could put into this building, which we didn't have.
Right.
You know, but I'm not sure if you see the election. Anyway, I'm up here too long. I'm not sure that people are prepared to vote for tax increase.
Maybe they're not. And maybe it won't come to that. I'm just saying, you know, we don't know what the future holds, but this is the best, in my view, that we can do with the situation we're in.
Well, I'd just like to add, I appreciate your outlook. I always do. And I really want you to know that, in my view, and in the private talks we have about how, and in the Finance Committee, about how we're going to structure the budget, the utilization of services is on a perceived as needed basis, not because the money is allocated in the budget. I can guarantee you that there is nobody sitting up here who says, oh, we got $100,000, let's hire a lawyer to do this instead of doing it ourselves. It's not how it works, Carl.
Okay. I expressed my
feelings. Yeah, no, I respect that.
And I, you know, I want to say I appreciate you expressing your feelings too. I look forward to good discussion in the Finance Committee about things we can do to help. It's, you know, it'd be great to hear some suggestions about realistically what we can do.
I have a comment, and this refers back to Jan Viersen's article, his letter to the editor in the June Outlook. And here he says that he checked with somebody on the board and asked whether or not the board carries directors' and officers' liability insurance. And he was told that was the case. And he asks the question, why then didn't the board avail itself of the legal help it could have had in the case of the writ? According to the budget this year, it was $135,000, although it was over $200,000 that this board has spent on the writ. Would somebody tell me why you didn't use the insurance that you carry?
Actually, I can. The insurance doesn't cover it. This is viewed as an intentional act, and it doesn't cover it.
Nobody can get coverage for a lawsuit like that.
It's just not possible. John, Mr. Bierce, there's just something wrong.
We
went down this road. The first call we made when we were served with your complaint was to our insurance carriers, and they said, we don't cover this.
Moreover, you sued us as individuals, not as directors.
But you do know that we offered to remove you as...
Yes, and you didn't.
Let's don't get into the specifics.
And that was ignored.
No, it's not.
We're not going to debate that. The Court of Appeal has resolved it. Oh, it's good. Done.
Sorry.
Gloria Morrison again, and you'll be happy to know I'm not arguing about anything, but I am asking a question.
Don't disappoint us, Gloria.
I know. Doggone it, Linda. Anyway, in our packet, on the page estimated available cash, 6/30/14, I am looking under the left accounts to 13. Oh, no, excuse me, 134D. Excuse me, my eyes are giving out on me. And it appears that there is, 134D. It's on the estimated available cash sheet that came out with, yeah. Is there a mathematical error?
68?
Okay, yes, 68, excuse me.
Thank you.
But... it appears to me that the estimate for 143D is incorrect, that in fact we have the capital estimate and the garbage estimate as the same, and I believe that is an error, which makes the number, the total of the LAF accounts incorrect by $100,000, unless there was $100,000 for the garbage that somehow isn't reflected on this charge.
134D and 134E look like they're duplicates. That's your point.
Exactly. I'm wondering, but you see, it is added into the total.
Right.
So it's
Chief, do you have a comment on that?
Yeah, she's right. That's a typo. Yeah.
So
it's zero.
I'm not sure what it means to the whole thing because I just happened to notice it.
That basically means that the money that we think we had in the bank isn't there by $100,000.
Uh huh.
So instead of $1.4 million, whatever.
Yeah.
It's 1.3.
And will that have an effect on any of the other accounts or on, because this does show the cash in and out of these accounts. Is that going to have an effect on anything else in your budget, or is that just a mathematical error that will be corrected? Anyway, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for catching that.
That doesn't affect the budget, the revenue, or the expenses. All it affects is the money that's in reserve.
Okay, so can we, do we have any more comments, by the way, from the public? I'm going to ask for a motion on adopting the budget with, I guess, edits consistent with that last revelation.
I move we adopt the operating budget fiscal year 2014-2015. And we'll talk about the Finance Committee separately.
Yeah.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes.
Now that we've passed the budget, I would like to pick up on Carl's theme of getting your Finance Committee back onto a quarterly, if not monthly, basis. And I think you're the chair and Tony's the assistant. I'd love to come back and just sit and watch, but I think I always enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. You guys are going to have to kind of pull that together. Can we get it back on a quarterly
yeah.
basis? Because clearly the red ink is coming up sooner than later. And
yeah.
I actually kind of agree with some of Carl's thoughts. I'm not about to cut a police officer. We can't do that. We just can't. But I'd love to have a wider forum discussion on all these issues.
Okay.
Thanks.
You got it.
I believe we have very qualified people on the Finance Committee and that we can help make a difference. I support Carl's position as well. And, you know, some of these reductions in operating expense, they don't, if we're going year to year, they become huge. But if we start to look out every 2, 3, 4 years and make a strategic move towards a particular goal, it won't result in having to slash and burn an officer because we can do it in a much more orderly way. But the Finance Committee, I think, is a key to that and our ability to provide input and diagnostics to the board.
Okay, thank you for that comment. And we're up against item 4. I noticed that we're getting close to 9:45, and it looks like we're going to be going potentially beyond 10. So should we do take care of that now?
All right, I make a motion that we extend the meeting beyond 10 o'clock to complete all items which
Can I add to that for as long as we need to go?
For as long as we need to go.
I second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Okay, Chief, item 4.
Attached for your review is Resolution 2014-09, which adopted would call it an election to establish the district's appropriation limit for fiscal year 2015 and 2016 and authorize the district to use that number to calculate the limits for the next 3 years through fiscal year 2018 and 2019. As a board, you might be wondering, why are we doing this again? We did this last month for when we set the limit for this upcoming fiscal year, 14-15. It's to get this done in this upcoming election in November. We had a special election in 2011 to actually pass the appropriation limit in 2011. And having that special election in June of that year actually cost us a lot more as far as election costs. We actually had end up paying $23,000 just to have that special election to pass this. So what we're doing tonight is hopefully passing this resolution, and we're going to be calling for the election this November in order to piggyback on the general election, and we can save, we'll probably save about $15,000. The form of the resolution is based Oh, I was going to say, how can you complain about that? The form of the resolution is based on that adopted by the board in the past, which was modified to include additional language requested by the election processing supervisor of Contra Costa County. The proposed fiscal year 2015-2016 appropriation limit amount has been set at $3,744,262, which is a 1% increase of the amount that was set for fiscal year 2014-2015 during the June 12th board meeting. By placing the measure on the November 14 ballot, the district will save an election cost of the consolidated election over the cost of a special election next year. The resolution must be delivered to the county clerk, register a voter no later than Friday, August 8th. The board may want to submit an argument in favor of the measure. Julie Sherman, our attorney in Hanson Bridget, has offered to assist as needed in the drafting of the argument. They still have a copy of the argument submitted at the last time the district held a special election to determine its appropriation limit, and this can certainly serve as a template for the updated version. A number of procedural rules control the drafting of the argument in favor of the measure. These rules are contained in the document prepared by the county entitled Local Measures Information Guide, which I have received. The argument in favor of the measure must be submitted by August 20th per the Register of Voters upon receipt of the district's resolution calling for the election. If the measure should pass, it would only set the district appropriation limit through 2018-2019 fiscal year. The district will need to go to the voters again no later than June 2018 to prevent the district's appropriation limit from falling. So what I'm asking tonight is that you move to approve Resolution 2014-09, which basically calls for the to hold the election in November and place the appropriation limit as presented on the ballot for the voters to vote on.
Okay, any discussion?
Sure. Yeah, Chief, I have two questions for you. One, if we do the election in November, we're certainly timely. That's the point of doing it in November. It's a timely election. We aren't doing it too soon.
No, it's fine. We had to do it in June of 2015.
At the latest.
So
we can do it in November of 2014 without missing the deadline. The second point is, for those who don't know, this is kind of an upshot of Prop 13, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Every 4 years, we have to get the community to sign off on authorizing collection of taxes to support this district. And we have to have a dollar amount in there, which is kind of fixed by formula. There's a very detailed formula. So this really is an enabling resolution to continue to fund the district here. And if we don't do it, well, everything drops back to the pre-1978 levels, and you won't have a police department at all.
Thank you for that little bit of edification. Any other comments?
I'm not kidding. This is
funny.
Anybody
else? Public, any comments? All right, do I have a motion?
Chief, I move that we adopt Resolution 2014-09 as drafted, and you take steps to move forward with it.
Second the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes.
And we need to sign this, or just...
Board President.
I'll do it when we close.
Yeah, we do it later.
Okay, item five.
What is item five?
The selection.
The choice of the CSDA board.
Oh, seat. Gotcha.
You want me to read it, Chief?
No, I'm good. Let's get my paperwork here. The California Special District Association is holding their, it seems like, monthly election. This time, once again, it's for Region 3, which is our region, Seat C. There are two candidates on the ballot. Incumbent Stanley Caldwell, who is a board member with the Mountain View Sanitation District, and Shane McAfee, who's a general manager of the Greater Vallejo Recreation District. And both their candidate statements are included in your packet. I've known Mr. Caldwell since I've been employed by the district. He's recently served as the president, board president of CSDA. He's a very active member for the past 20 or 30 years in CSDA. If the board was looking for a recommendation, I would recommend that you cast your vote for the incumbent, Mr. Caldwell. But what I'm calling for tonight is how you'd like to vote, and then we can submit our ballot to CSDA.
Okay, Linda?
I read both of their resumes, and I was impressed by Mr. Caldwell as well, and I would support that. I also liked Mr. McAfee's, I think it's a male, resume, but I noted he was not on any committees and had kind of not worked his way up through the organization. He'd taken a few courses and obtained several certifications. And while I like having new blood and new people in, I think that Mr. Caldwell will continue to do a good job. And it seems as though Mr. McAfee ought to spend a little time in some of the subcommittees and do actual work in CSDA before he rises through the ranks to take the presidency. So I would stick with Mr. Caldwell.
Could I hear from everybody else here on the board?
He's actually done a very competent job over the years, and I've been on this board 6 years now, and he's always been the person in charge here, or in this seat.
So I had the opportunity to work with Stanley a couple times, and I think he's a very competent person.
Well, I, looking at the two resumes, I don't know either of the two men, but I can't find a reason not to vote for Mr. Caldwell. So it sounds like we have consensus on board, and I guess we have to make a motion as if we want to vote for that, correct?
I'll make a motion. I make a motion that we direct the chief to cast our vote in favor of Stanley R. Caldwell for the seat C, election region 3 of the CSDA.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes.
No, actually, Lynn beat me to it.
It was a second and a third. All right, final item. Who knows? Maybe we might finish by 10. Item 6.
We've got to go in the other section.
We've got to go. I meant the public.
Okay.
I know that. But don't depress me right away, please. So, Lynn, do we look to you for this?
At its December 2013 meeting, the pages to the CSC board adopted a set of goals and objectives. Goal number 5, you couldn't all hear me? Okay. Goal number 5, developed a technology improvement operations plan for the district that can be implemented within the year. Among the objectives, develop a plan including timeline and budget for the complete overhaul of the district website, including resource requirements, file aging, special needs bulletin board, and current 2014 graphics/photographs. During the past few months, staff has solicited 3 proposals to create a new district website from professionals at Creatability, PagePoint, and Civic Plus. On April 18, 2014, Paul Wakefield, one of Creatability's owners, came to the district office and made a presentation. At the May 8, 2014 KPPCSD board meeting, I made a presentation to the board about Mr. Wakefield's visit. Just prior to that May board meeting, Sergeant Huey, who had been uploading documents to the website for the past few years, questioned whether uploading documents via WordPress would be simpler than uploading them with Drupal, the district's current website format. Subsequently, district staff and President Welsh researched whether WordPress or Drupal would be more appropriate. We asked Mr. Wakefield to make a return visit to the district office, and we asked Aaron Gobler of PagePoint, the district's current website service provider, to come to the office. Both made presentations regarding this issue, and both recommended WordPress over Drupal. They cited that WordPress would be more user-friendly, and that WordPress would enable the district to upload board meeting videos. Our computer tech support service providers at Rubicon, these are the people who installed our new computer system, also recommend WordPress over Drupal. They have said that their own website is WordPress, and they said that Drupal, because it's more techie, really needs to have just one dedicated person making updates to a Drupal-based website. Currently, Sergeant Huey is the only staff member who knows how to upload information to the district's current Drupal-based website, and he has estimated that he spends approximately 10 hours per week uploading documents. Following a thorough discussion of the benefits of Creatability and PagePoint, staff and President Welsh concluded that it seemed sensible to continue working with PagePoint, as this company is already familiar with the district's website and with the community, and the company is located nearby. Our current tech support service providers at Rubicon have worked with both Mr. Wakefield and Mr. Gobler and have reported that both are well qualified to convert our website from Drupal to WordPress. Mr. Gobler/PagePoint estimates that he would be able to create a new WordPress-based website and to train staff for an amount not to exceed $7,500. As a concluding note, Page Point's estimate is the same as that which was submitted by Creatability. The third of the three companies that I mentioned at the outset, Civic Plus, provides custom-made platforms, and their estimate for creating a new website for us was between $20,000 and $25,000. My recommendation is that should the board choose to proceed with this project, it do so with PagePoint for an amount not to exceed $7,500, and the proposal is in your board packet.
If I could just add a little comment here. One reason I took a special interest in this is I just was going through the website like a normal citizen would and seeing that there's a lot of stuff on it that's out of date, way out of date. And so actually the first thing that occurred to me is we need to have a better sort of procedure for keeping the website up to date. It hasn't really been tended to in some time, and so we need to clean out the old stuff, get it all current. Archive the stuff that we don't want to get rid of stuff that's part of our history. We just want to archive it properly. That takes staff time to do. And so once we fix it, we need to sort of keep on top of it on some sort of periodic basis. And looking at how hard it is to do that with the current system quickly led me to, and staff, I think, to the conclusion that we probably could have a much more user-friendly platform, consume far less of Kevin Huey's time on this, and hopefully have it be the kind of thing that anybody on staff can tend to when necessary, so we don't always have to lean on Kevin. And there seemed to be unanimity on those concepts, and so that what we believe we're entering into with I'm sorry, what's his name? The one that Aaron. We chose over Paul?
Aaron Gobler.
Looks like it's going to get us just that, a very easily updatable and maintainable website, so we spend very little time in the transaction of getting the thing updated, so we have more staff time to devote to looking at the content and making sure the content is appropriate. So it's a technological improvement that's going to make us better able to use staff time and also better able to keep the website up to date. Go ahead.
I'd like to add one more thing. Mr. Gobler believes that he can have this up and running by September.
Good. Thanks for that. So with that comment of mine, I'll ask for any comments from board members.
Well, I think it should be done. Absolutely. It's crazy that we have to spend that amount of time. It should be a simpler process, and more than one person should be able to do it. So I'm totally behind it. That's the way the consumer expects to find the information pertaining to this district, is on the website. So I think that's what we're here for.
Quick question, Lynn. If we get this done, how much of a reduction in necessary time from Sergeant Huey will this mean?
I'm hoping for just about 100%. Maybe the chief could comment on that.
I'm hoping for 100% too.
And there's people on staff who can fill in for his role on this?
That's the whole point. If we do this right, Lynn can do it, Andrea can do it, even the chief can do it, even I can do it.
No, he's not.
That's just wrong. Okay, that's just wrong.
I said it, I'll say it again.
But the point is, it becomes such a simple process. I mean, having a cop spend 10 hours a week maintaining our website is a waste of the cop's time.
Yeah, I have to say, you know, he has been magnificent.
He's been
dealing with a system that is, I mean, it's not only outdated, overly technical to deal with, it's got glitches in it. I mean, he's been magnificent, and I actually think we all owe him a great debt for keeping us afloat all this time, and I'm hoping he's looking forward to getting a break. Are we done with board comments? Tony, do you have any comment?
I have a question. Once we install this new system, how many estimated hours will it take to then bring it up to date with all the data and everything that needs to be rehabbed?
That would be part of the process that PagePoint would go through as it creates the new website. We'll be removing unnecessary things, we'll be adding new needed things, and we'll be updating everything that we keep.
And archiving
and
the stuff that's,
yes,
you know, history.
September, okay.
September is the date.
What's the estimated ongoing maintenance time for the system?
Once it's up and running, I think...
An hour, 2 hours?
There's really no more maintenance. Everything's just
putting new data in and archiving?
I would guess it's under 5 hours a month. That would be my guess.
Would PagePoint be hosting the site?
No.
Who hosts the site? Rubicon. I'm sorry.
Rubicon. Yeah.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. Sure. Sounds like a reasonable deal.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yeah, it might be down for an hour or two, something like that. But it's a very quick transition. Yeah, exactly. Yes, sir. Oh, could I get your name, please? I'm sorry. No, not at all. It just will be archived so that if you say you want to look at what happened in 2008, you can go to a 2008 and find it there. Excuse me.
Is this an execution-ready PagePoint proposal, or do you have a separate contract, or what? This is ready to go. Okay.
So what's on the table now is...
I move we adopt the PagePoint resolution, PagePoint proposal.
Well, what we're authorizing the board, the chief, really, to enter into a contract for website design and maintenance with PagePoint, right?
Right.
That's the motion?
This is the one, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll...
You just made the motion. I'll retract mine.
Okay, and we want a
second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The motion passes, and I just want to give Lynn a thank you for all the work she did. She did the lion's share of the work on this, and
much,
I think
Lynn.
She brought us to a very fine
Good
result.
Thank you.
All right, well, I guess that brings us to the end, at least the end for the public part of this meeting. We're going to have to go back into closed session.
Thank you all for coming out.
Move to adjourn, folks. Anybody want
to
make a motion?
Move to adjourn the public portion and reconvene as a private, in closed door session.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. We adjourn.
Okay.